Gavin's Den is Wrecking Ball Radio.
Hello, everybody. You are listening to Davin's Den, Filling the Void. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than plunging to your death down a mountain. I'm your host, Davin Rosenblatt. I am joined by Joe Curry.
Hello.
And Pip Helix.
Hi, everybody.
Hello, all. Big show tonight. As always, we have an interview coming up with Joyce Razor of the National Military Family Association, which is the charity that I've been given to since 2009. I'm looking forward to her explaining what the charity does. Disney's considering introducing a gay character. We'll kick that around. Ellen DeGeneres is getting sued. And we'll look into some more things that kids can't do today in school that we could. But first, as you guys know, I just came back from New Mexico and Colorado.
I know. It sounds like a good trip.
It was a good trip. To get to the gig in Colorado from New Mexico, though, we had to drive through this small chain of mountains called the Rocky Mountains.
Oh, I've heard of them.
Yes. They're quite delightful. Now, you go through the Rocky Mountains on a road called the Million Dollar Highway.
Why is it called that?
I don't know.
Okay.
But that's what it's called.
Million Dollar Highway.
Now, have you guys ever driven through the Rocky Mountains?
No.
No.
It is a narrow road.
Oh.
With sharp twists and turns.
Uh-huh.
There is no room for error. There are street signs that tell you which direction, like how the road's going,
okay.
And they look like lowercase letters like U and N and like W. That's the way the road's going, and Q, which I don't even understand how I can possibly do.
They have a roundabout on this road.
It's a cul-de-sac with an exit.
Yeah. That's crazy. And so this is what I have to drive through. I was originally going to travel through night, but there were no street signs, and it turns out I didn't. But can you imagine that?
No, a night? No, no.
You know what?
You're doing a very special Davin's Den tonight.
Really?
Funny you should say that. You know what this road does not have?
Guardrails, I bet.
Yes!
Really?
Yes!
Oh, God. Oh.
Joe's eyes bugged out.
Why wouldn't it have guardrails?
I'll explain it in a second. But there are
is an answer?
There is, because I asked.
Oh.
There are large portions of this highway, road, not even a highway, road, where there are no guardrails. And you look down. You're not coasting down. You're not easing down. You're plunging down.
Everything on my body is clenched right now. Just
no time for Kegel exercises. We got a show to do. Very, very harrowing. So Joe brings up the question, why are there no guardrails?
Yeah.
I asked this question when we arrived to our gig in Colorado, when we survived that. I asked, how come there's no guardrails?
Because they have to feed the vultures?
She said, no, there are no guardrails because there are mudslides. And they wash the guardrails away.
Oh.
To which I said, you know what also gets washed away on mountains? People in cars. How about we make it the $2 million highway and build some damn guardrails?
Right.
Did you use that on stage?
I most certainly did. It was now part of the act. Yeah. As you can imagine, after I was unclenched, I was full of rage and fury.
You clenched as well.
So yeah. You visited, you were on the edges of death, but you brought it back a bit.
Yeah, exactly.
As you do.
As long as I get a bit out of it. Yeah. But beautiful, completely scary.
Terrifying.
Yeah. Oh. So, like, if you were
like a crazy chick,
if you're afraid,
I just thought about that. Yeah.
If you're afraid of heights, I do not recommend the Colorado Rockies.
Let me tell you,
because I think we were on like Red Mountain Peak, which is like one of the highest ones or something.
Oh.
I hate heights, man. I'd be because
there was no street signs for you to read.
I understand, but yeah, you know, I was on my roof like a scared kitten one time. I would have been in the back of the car like.
Oh.
Like freaking out.
I would have been white knuckling it and whimpering the whole time.
Yeah.
And probably wetting myself. I'm not going to lie.
So I'm leaving out of Albuquerque on Monday morning. I have a 5 a.m. flight.
Ugh.
Now, from the New York area and from what TSA is saying, when you have a 5 a.m. flight, you should at least get there by 3 a.m.
Oh.
So that's what I'm thinking. Now, I thought the shuttle service from, because I'm staying at a hotel at the airport, like one of the airport hotels.
Right.
So I thought the shuttle service goes 24 hours. It does not.
Oh, you're kidding.
The shuttle service starts at 4:30. Why does it start at 4:30? Because that's when the hotel tells us that TSA starts letting people through. I'm like, well, that doesn't make sense for a 5 a.m. flight.
No, it doesn't.
No.
Because they start boarding at 4:30.
Yeah.
So then I have the wife call the airline, American Airlines, and American Airlines said, oh, no, our ticket counter will be open at 3 a.m.
Oh.
There will be people there. We call the airport. The airport says, no, you should get there no later than 4 a.m. The hotel has said, no, you'll be fine if you take the 4:30 shuttle. Nuh-uh.
If you're going to be on a flight at 5 o'clock, how is taking the 4:30, unless you're going being driven to a Learjet, You know, it's going to pull right up to
Trump.
The jet.
Trump.
Yeah, like a Trump. You're going to just click clop out and get on your flight.
No.
Wave to some folks and get on.
Yeah. No, I need to be at the airport at 3 o'clock.
None of this math is working for me.
No. So we decide I'm going to take a cab. But now they say they get there by 4, I'll be fine. Again, this blows our mind in New York, but it's a small airport.
Right.
So I say, all right, I'm going to get myself a 3:45 cab. It's a minute away, the airport.
Mm-hmm.
Get myself a 3:45 cab. I'll be there in plenty of time. I'll wake up at 3:15.
Right.
Set my alarm. Have a couple hours sleep to fly across the country. My alarm doesn't go off, but my body clock gets me up.
Yes.
Like a dart.
Wow.
So I get down there at 3:40. No cab. 3:45, no cab. 3:50, no cab.
No.
3:55, no cab. So I go to the concierge. I go, what's this? Did you guys deal with the cab? He's like, oh, we called, but sometimes they have a hard time finding drivers. What?
Excuse me?
That was my response.
You're in Albuquerque at 3 o'clock in the morning. This isn't, you know, 33rd and 7th
yeah,
at 8 o'clock. Yeah.
But why promise stuff you're not going to do?
Yeah, exactly.
You're not in the city. Yeah.
3:55 passes. 4 o'clock passes. I go, can you do me a favor? Can you call the cab company? Is this thing coming or am I in trouble here?
Right.
Because it's not American Airlines if I don't make this flight.
Right. Do I need to jog now
exactly.
or what?
So he calls like, yeah, we'll put a rush on it. But yeah, we're looking for a driver.
What?
How do you promise things that you can't deliver?
This is small town stuff.
No, this is Albuquerque.
Nope, small town stuff.
There's another couple waiting for a cab. They have a 6 o'clock flight. They're waiting for a 4 a.m. Cab.
Yeah.
4 a.m. passes. 4:05 passes. 4:11 passes.
They're flipping out.
They're calm.
You're flipping.
Because they're probably not from New York.
Yeah.
Finally, a cab rolls up.
Ugh.
I go, you want to just split this thing? They're like, yeah. So we split the cab. Al, I would say stroll, but he never really left the cab, was a large African-American man of 62 years old who could not hear.
Oh, great.
Screaming.
We'll take him.
Yeah.
We'll
great.
Take him.
My favorite person in the whole world right now.
Exactly. So we took it. I thought it was going to cost $10 or $15. It cost like $7. So I paid the $5. I go to the couple in the back seat. Go, you guys cool with paying the rest? And I was out.
Yeah.
And I made the flight. But can you imagine?
No.
Why do I have to go there and tell them how to run their taxi service?
Because you have to tell everybody how to run everything.
I do. You can't make promises. There's a reason why people make a cab for a certain time. They need to get someplace.
Do you think?
You have to watch everybody like a hawk. You always tell me, I don't know why, because you have to. You have to watch everybody like, are you going to, during my day, the things I have to watch like a hawk? I have to watch everything like a hawk. Like I said.
Yeah, but you're not trying to leave the state. You're sitting in the comfort of your office. You don't have 3 hours sleep and a Pop-Tart in you, you know.
But even with that, and I have to explain to my wife and my real estate agent why putting my house up on sale, you know, not waiting another week to have an open house is a good idea.
Oh.
You know, I mean, I feel that way now with everything going on with the sale. Like, I got to run everything and watch everybody because
yes.
nobody could do a thing right.
Yes.
Of course, TSA has to. TSA's, they're wanding me. The TSA and wanding me. No, I go through the big x-ray, and right. then I get wanded, and he goes, oh, we always have a problem with cargo pants. What? cargo pants should not be a trigger.
Well, you know why they're because usually there's cargo in them, so maybe there's something
the
in
only
there.
Cargo is my junk, stupid, and it never set off a radar detector before.
No.
Or an x-ray.
There's always a first time. What
or
do you have on that?
Oh, really? Oh!
Oh!
Snuck that in, you son of a... Kind of the way I tried it.
Oh!
But can you imagine that cargo pants are an issue?
Why? Because the rivets?
I don't know.
I don't understand.
I don't know. And then they got to... then my laptop sets it off. They got to check for explosives.
Well, that always happens.
Well, I'm trying to gather my stuff at the end of the conveyor belt as you go through. Like, all right, I'm going to take your laptop over here. I'll wait for you. I'm like, you can go. I trust you.
Yeah. Sucker.
I'm like, I know how this works. And then the other woman goes, well, if you know how it works, you need to know that you have to watch us doing the computer. For crying out loud. If there's TNT, I have a feeling everybody's going to know. I don't think you're going to keep it a secret, stupid. I just want to get my damn flight and get out of Albuquerque.
Real, all of a sudden the lights go red or DEFCON 5. It's like, no, you know what? There would be a to-do.
Am I going to say, oh, you know what? That wouldn't have happened if I was watching you. I trust you.
I know. What are you going to, like a cartoon? You're going to put a stick in there or light the fuse? Come on. Stupid.
Yeah. So that was leaving Albuquerque.
Well, I have sleep apnea, so I have a CPAP machine. You should see the different airports take that thing apart and use everything at their disposal to make sure that I'm not smuggling something in it. So I'm surprised the thing works.
All right. Well, we're going to come back with Joyce Razor from the National Military Family Association. You're listening to Davin's Den, Fill in the Void. Don't go anywhere. We are back. You are listening to Davin's Den. I'm very excited about this next segment. I've been giving to this charity since 2009. The reason I gave to this charity, it's the National Military Family Association. The reason I started giving to this particular charity was when I came back from Iraq. I was really touched by what the military, the people who I was performing for, said. I asked them, you know, what do they really think about when they're defending us? You know?
Right.
And they said the thing they worry about and the thing they think about is their family.
Yes.
So I wanted to seek out a charity that would help their family, since that's what the soldiers were worried about. And I did my research, and I found the National Military Family Association. And with us right now is Joyce Razor from the National Military Family Association. Hello, Joyce.
Hi, Davin.
How are you?
I'm doing real well tonight.
I'm glad. Thank you for joining us. We appreciate that. I want to ask you, why was the National Military Family Association started?
Well, the National Military Family Association was started by military family members because they needed somebody to speak up for them and to tell our nation's leaders about what was going on with military families and what help was needed. And so these ladies, all military spouses, military wives, said, we need to come together and make things better for military families. And this was in 1969. And that's what they did.
Being a woman, is there a special sense of pride you have in representing this charity since it was started by women?
Oh, yes. I mean, we refer to those ladies as our founding mothers. And, you know, the women in 1969, they were, these military spouses had moved all around the world. They were, had lots of connections, but they didn't have jobs, and so they put all of that energy into helping other military families, and that's the legacy we have today, is that we're still in the business as military families helping other military families. Most of our staff, most of our volunteers are military family members.
What are some of the things that the charity does with the donations? What are some of the programs, the things that you guys are raising money for? What are some of the things you guys do?
Well, one of the things that we've been doing since the start of the war is our Operation Purple camps. And these are camps for military kids whose parent is deployed or the parents had an injury. And our first week of camp of the summer is this week. We have 25 locations this summer. We're going to send close to 3,000 kids to camp. And this is a time for these kids just to be kids and to be with other kids who are going through the same thing they are, and a chance for them to just have fun, relax a little bit, and be celebrated for their service. So that's one program we have. We also do family retreats when a service member comes back from deployment, wants to kind of reconnect with the family after being gone for so long. We take them to beautiful outdoor places and have family activities and time for that family just to unplug and bond. And then we do special retreats for wounded service members and their families, because what those wounded service members told us was, after they got out of the hospital, they said, we need to learn how to play again with our kids. And so we do the same thing. We take them to places where there are activities for the whole family to get involved in and really experience fun as a family. And so that's one of our big programs. I don't know whether you know, but 2.7 million kids have had a service member parent deploy at least once since the start of the war. That's a lot of kids. I mean, we're helping a couple thousand this summer, but over the course of this program, we've helped close to 60,000 family members, mostly kids, through our Operation Purple program. And then we also do a scholarship program for military spouses. Military spouses don't have the same educational information, opportunity, access to scholarship money as a lot of kids do, but that military family often needs a second income. And we want to help military spouses get that career they need, get the education they need so that they can help their family and be a great example for their kids too, to see, for the kids to see mom or dad, because some of our spouses are male, pursue that education, pursue that degree, get that training that's going to help launch a career. That's really important for that whole family.
We're talking to Joyce Razor of the National Military Family Association. Joyce, what's the greatest challenge right now that you feel military families are facing and that you guys are helping with?
Well, I think one of the big challenges is that a lot of America doesn't know we're still a military at war.
That's true.
You know, we've tended to focus on the people who are coming home from war, not realizing that there are still service members leaving for very dangerous places. We still have troops in Afghanistan. We've got troops back in Iraq. And that means those service members, and we have troops all over the world.
What is it?
That means those service members are missing their kids' birthdays. They're missing graduations this month. They're missing a family vacation. They're missing other holidays. And so for America to know our military families still need support is, I think, one of the great challenges.
It's only something like, 1% of the families in the United States have service people defending our country?
Yeah, that's the stat that everybody uses, is that 1% serves or has a family member serve, and they're serving the rest of the 99%.
It's amazing. So,
yeah, and it's not that people don't care. It's a lot of times it's just people don't realize we're still sending our troops away from home an awful lot.
Well, we like to uncover things on this show. It's an election year. I know the National Military Family Association lobbies Congress to help meet the needs of military families.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to name some names. I want some of the most receptive and helpful members of Congress that are helping you achieve your goals. And I want to know some of the people that are the worst and that probably wrap themselves in American flag but aren't really doing what's necessary. Can we do that, Joyce?
Well, it's a little difficult because we're a charity. We have to be nonpartisan.
I don't know.
We work with Congress. We work with any administration, and we're very forceful about telling them what military families need. And there are folks on the Hill who are more receptive to that mission. But I have to be really careful because our charity status.
Well, you know, how about this?
We have to be nonpartisan.
Give me a taste on each side, because I'm sure it's not a Democrat or Republican thing. So give me a taste on each side, so we're nonpartisan. Can we do that?
Sure.
Okay.
And I'm gonna because of that nonpartisan, I'm gonna go back in history a little bit.
Okay.
And Ted Kennedy, Democrat, but was a hero for military families because he was one of the sponsors of the Military Child Care Act,
mm-hmm.
which created a world-class child care system for all of our young families in the military. He was an advocate for health care, especially for some of our special needs families, our military families that had maybe a sick child or a disabled child. And so, but he would work with Republican advocates for military families as well. And we're really lucky in terms of dealing with the congressional committees that deal with military issues.
Mm-hmm.
Military families are a bipartisan issue, and people want to do the right thing.
Now, I hope so.
Again, a lot of times members of Congress, because most members of Congress haven't served in the military, they may not know what military families are going through.
Right.
And so one of our jobs is to talk to those folks about how military families need support in certain areas. They need, you know, we need those regular pay raises. We need folks to take care of military health care to make sure that when a child of a deployed service member is sick, we could get that child in for a doctor's appointment. So and so there's a lot of folks who are willing to listen. So we work a lot with the Armed Services Committees on the House and the Senate, and they really do listen.
Give me a Republican. Give me a Republican
and,
that's been really good. Give me a Republican.
A lot of other members who want to do the right thing too.
Joyce, give me a Republican because we named Ted Kennedy. That's been really good. If there's an active Republican,
well, okay, Senator, I'll do another one from the Senate. Senator Lindsey Graham has always been very receptive to the needs of military families. He's got military. He's had military service himself.
Right.
And so asks good questions about what do military families need, and tries to educate other members who maybe don't know as much about the military to help, and is very interested in military people. I mean, he's looking at health care. He's looking at support for our Guard and Reserve families who are really isolated. And so he's another good advocate for military families.
All right, give me a Democrat that's been less than stellar, and then we'll do a Republican that's less than stellar. And no, this is and I don't know. I want the, Joyce, and I want them to be active if you can do it. And there's a reason why, because I want the people that are listening to know who likes to wrap themselves in the American flag, but could be doing a lot more. And I want the people to possibly petition or write or call these.
Like I said, I've got to work with everybody.
Right,
because
but
my job is to make everybody more aware of military families.
That's what I want to do.
And so I think people should be asking their representatives, "What have you done for military families lately?" And some of them are going to have short answers, and some of them aren't going to have any answers.
Those are the ones I want.
I can't honestly think of somebody right now who, when I have approached them, they've and said military families need this, they've said no. Now, you know, I have to be careful about this one.
Okay.
Because I want everybody to be on military family side, and that's how we approach members of Congress as if they want to help military families, and very few over the years, I've been doing this for a long time, very few over the years have said, no, we can't do anything.
Do you want to name one over the years, since you don't want to give me an active one? Do you want to give me one over the years that has could have done a lot more?
You know, I'm trying to, this question's caught me off guard. I'm trying to think.
Well, that's my job.
You know, really can't right now.
Okay. All right,
I'll keep pondering that one.
You'll write to me. You'll let me know.
Yeah, I will.
Because this is how we get action.
I'm gonna appeal to people's good side and say, you know, and don't disappoint me. And very few people disappoint because they want to do the right thing for military families.
Okay. All right. What percentage of the money raised goes to the people in need? Because we hear, you know, we hear some great stories, and then we hear some other very well-known charities where they raise a ton of money, but a lot of it goes to administrative costs, and it never gets to the people in need. What percentage is it for the National Military Family Association?
Well, we're just going over our most recent financials, and we're at 87% goes directly to our programs and support for military families.
So that's 87% used for the camps or for the scholarships. 87% of what you take in is going to help those people directly.
Yep.
That's a great number.
Yes.
That's very high. And finally, before we let you go, Joyce, how can people donate to the National Military Family Association and learn more about it?
The best way is to go to our website, www.militaryfamily.org. There's lots of information. There's lots of information about our programs, information for military families, and a nice red donate button that they can click and donate.
It's really easy to donate, too. You can do it with a credit card.
It's really easy.
I do it a couple times a year. The proceeds from the DVD when I was in Iraq, I send a good portion to you folks. So it's real easy.
We really appreciate your support and the support of other concerned Americans. We don't get any government funding. It's all from people who care about military families. And, in fact, from military families themselves. They donate to us to support other military families.
Well, Joyce, I think you guys are doing a great job. Like I said, the National Military Family Association has a special place in my heart for my
Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Entertaining the men and women overseas. Joyce, thank you for taking time.
Thank you very much.
Good luck with everything, and you and I will be in touch. I'm going to get those names from you.
Okay.
All right, take care.
Right.
Bye-bye.
Wow, that's incredible.
Yes, yeah, very good work.
That was Joyce Razor from the National Military Family Association. You're listening to Davins, and we're going to take a break. We'll be back. You're listening to Davin's Den, Fill in the Void. Thank you guys for hanging out with us. That was a great interview with Joyce of the National Military Family Association.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Very good. Very good.
Very
great
well
course,
spoken.
Too.
I'm going to get those names.
Yeah.
Because
you're going to twist her and beat her up a little bit more?
Let the poor lady alone. Let her raise her money.
Yeah.
No, but I want to pressure the ones that wrap themselves in Old Glory and are full of baloney.
I think the takeaway was, though, everybody contact their congresspeople
and
ask them to support this group.
Agreed. And I'm happy that Ted Kennedy was so good with it. And I'm happy to hear that Lindsey Graham is good with it. I wasn't surprised to hear Lindsey was good with it, but I was good to hear.
Yes.
All right. Something else that may or may not be good to hear, depending on your perspective. So fans of Disney have expressed their desire for Elsa of Frozen to have a female love interest in the upcoming sequel. In a form of social media campaign. Of course there is. Hashtag give Elsa a girlfriend. And now the voice of Elsa actress Idina Menzel, who I saw in Wicked. Excellent.
Oh, really?
I took the wife to see the original cast of Wicked. Holy cow. Because that had her and Kristen Chenoweth, who are just...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that was the two of them. So she's voiced her support. She spoke at the Billboard Music Awards, and she said, I think it's great. Disney's just got to contend with that. I'll let them figure that out no matter what else. Elsa's changed my life. She said, if Elsa was to be given a female love interest in Frozen 2, it would make Disney the first one to have an out gay character in one of their animated films. Menzel will once again voice Queen Elsa in Frozen 2. Interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting. I mean, I think I know that there's going to be a lot of people who will have a problem with that, the same way that there's a lot of people who have with problems with gay people in general.
As well they should. gay people at Disney, unheard of.
Yeah, Disney on Ice, no gay people there. gay ice skaters, what?
No, all straight people.
Yeah, of course they are.
I saw Frozen on Ice.
You did?
Yeah.
Well, you have a daughter.
Yeah, I did. I blocked out a weekend.
Not
like it was Guns N' Roses. Oh, Guns N' Roses are Frozen. Oh, I don't know. I want to see him skate around. Come on now, stupid.
Did you do the whole cosplay thing? Which one did you go as?
No, I was sitting in a suite in Brooklyn. At the new arena, Barclays.
Right.
So that's what I was doing. So you think they should give her a love interest? A female love interest.
I didn't necessarily, start the petition, but I don't see I have a problem with it.
Joe?
I'm very mixed on this.
You're mixed on many things.
You know, I don't know. I think it's a little too much. I mean, I think that the whole... Look, I'm for gay rights, but I think that we need to be...
Just not in a manly place like Disney.
But it's getting to the point with this whole transgender stuff. They're pushing the issue so much.
Well, this would be the first...
You need society to get used to ideas step by step.
I think we're used to gay people.
I understand, but, change... You got to take things one
but
step
I think
at a time.
I think that's a your generation thing and maybe a me generation thing. Because I'm kind of mixed on it, too. Like, on the one hand, it's like, well, there's gay people.
All right. And
gay people support Disney. And they're part of the population. So why shouldn't there be a gay character?
I just feel it in a cartoon. It's a little too much too soon.
Well, the red monster from Bugs Bunny was gay.
He wasn't out. Thanks for outing him.
He was not. Well, I'm sorry. I didn't realize it was a secret.
Great.
I just feel that change like this has to be gradual.
Joe, they've had Disney for what, 70 years? It's
I
gradual.
Understand.
They've had gay people for thousands?
They've had gay people since, like, Adam said, you know what, I'm not in the mood for Eve.
Where's Steve?
Where's that snake?
Oh, right down there. There it is.
See, that's not real. I don't... I don't really agree with Joe's assessment of that because they have been. It's been a long
time.
But
what's your feeling on?
I'm a little mixed because.
And please. I'm curious.
Here's the thing.
Well, so to speak.
do you want me to get my pride shirt away from my wife? Would you like to wear it? Joe's girl seems to think you're a bear too. Here's the thing. It forces parents to deal with that issue sooner than maybe they would. Because there is an issue if you don't have a lot of gay families coming over.
Okay, right. And that's where I'm getting at. It's a little, it's just a little too much too soon. And that's a very good answer. Where you're forcing it to, you know, to deal. They're making you bring up.
But isn't that our generation's problem? It's not. I mean, shouldn't we? I mean, because gay people are not new. I've been told they've been here for a while.
Yes, they have.
We've had nice things for a long time, and they've shopped and gotten them. I mean,
they designed them.
You know, I mean, theoretically, the conversation is to be, well, you know what? A man and a man, or a girl and a girl, can't have a baby, but they can love each other and have a family.
Then make the movie PG-13.
No.
You can't do that. They're not having sex, Joe.
Yeah, it's not going to be
Disney.
About them.
It's Disney.
Wait, if you're going to bring up the dialogue, you want to wait for the child to be
they're just
going to
have
age.
It's going to be a lame Disney relationship like any other. A kiss on the cheek and away we go. It's not a Disney gangbang.
But do you want to explain it? You want to explain it to a 7-year-old or a 13-year-old?
But I think today's kids are more aware of it than we are. Because like I had to explain to my daughter the other day what cutting was, and it wasn't. I mean, sure, Daddy has a bad night, but it's never it's never something that's come. I mean, these kids are exposed to it.
Of course they are. When they're at school and they see Janie's two dads drop her off, they're not going, oh my God, they're doing sexual
things.
Yeah,
that's just
it's
it.
Just it's there.
There are
it's already
type,
here.
There's already these type of families. So what are you going to do?
Yes.
You're not going to let her go to her friend's house where there's two daddies raising her?
Look,
are you going to do that,
no,
Joe?
No, I'm not. No,
so that's going to raise the question anyway.
And kids are very accepting.
Kids,
you know,
they're more accepting than we are.
Absolutely. But you think about it, 10% of the population estimated is gay. 10% of or more of the American population is black. Black people are here. We don't have to explain them to our kids. We don't have to explain gay people to our kids either. They're just here.
Okay, gay black people, we're glad you're here. You're listening to Davin's Den. When we come back, speaking of gay, Ellen DeGeneres, a little bit of trouble. We are back. You're listening to Davin's Den, filling the void, PG or otherwise. I'm going to do a little comics in the news here. Just give me a second while I cue that. Because the comics in the news we're going to be talking about is Ellen DeGeneres is getting sued. This just broke very, very recently. You don't think of Ellen getting sued, but here we go.
And now it's time for comics in the news.
All right, so this just broke. A woman from Georgia is suing Ellen DeGeneres after she says she was ridiculed on the comedian's talk show. You never think of that talk show as ridiculing anybody.
No,
not really. Very.
T.T. Pierce, an electronics engineer and real estate agent in Warner.
That's a cool name.
It is kind of cool.
You can imagine there might be problems. A real estate agent in Warner Robins, Georgia, is suing the talk show host for defamation, false light invasion of privacy. I don't know what that means. Misappropriation of likeness and intentional inflection of emotional distress. Again, very uncharacteristic.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, Ellen inflicted emotional distress.
Maybe by watching her dance. Maybe it was too much. Pierce's real estate business was featured on a February 22nd episode of Ellen during the What's Wrong With These Signs segment. Wackadoodle.
Toodle-a-hoo.
Though Pierce pronounces her name T.T., Ellen read her sign as Titty Pierce and made a joke about breasts. Oh, Ellen, if you can't talk about breasts, what comedian can? You have them and you like them.
I'm sorry. I like Titty Pierce. That's a pretty funny
yeah,
name.
Well, you're a horrible human being. Repent,
you.
Woman.
Too late.
The lawsuit claims that Pierce has never been referred to as Titty in her 35 years of life.
Oh, come on.
People got to lighten up.
I'm not believing that at all.
No.
Yeah, really, growing up in grade school, nobody called you Titty?
Yeah,
it's
really.
T-I-T-I, and nobody called you Titty. Really.
Until Ellen did.
Uh-huh.
Maybe Ellen wanted some. Pierce also said that the show failed to blur out her personal cell phone number on the sign, and then she received, quote, hundreds of phone calls from viewers during the funeral of a family member.
Oh.
All right, now that could be a problem.
And hence, there's an issue.
You think Aunt Edna's going to call to give her condolences? Hey, so you're doing me.
What up, Titty?
You're distraught. You're upset.
Show us those.
Idiots.
Never mind.
You.
Yes, exactly. She notified the show about the censoring error and the correct pronunciation of her name. But the lawsuit claims that the episode of Ellen re-aired on April 15th with no changes.
No changes.
Oopsie.
The lawsuit does say the show blurred out a cell phone number in a video segment posted to Facebook. Quote, as a direct and proximate result of the defendant's conduct, Ms. Pierce has suffered stress, emotional distress, embarrassment, humiliation, anger, and other mental pain and suffering, the lawsuit reads. That's the lawyer saying we're going to get some money. DeGeneres has hosted her talk show since 2003 after starring in two sitcoms. All right. I think she's got a case.
I do, too, because the cell phone thing.
Yes.
I think so, yeah.
How do you do that? There's a producer who's getting fired.
Oh, yes. Some tech or producer or something is in trouble.
What do you think of Ellen just, like, before knowing, just going off and doing the whole, what she did with the mispronunciation of the name?
Oh, that's hilarious.
I think it's a bit. However, she probably would think that her staff has enough common sense to block out the names and stuff like that.
See, I don't know if it's appropriate for her type of show. It's a daytime show. Right. A lot of kids watch it. I don't even know if that's an appropriate joke. As somebody who watches Ellen, if I did, I don't, I would not expect that. I mean, I understand why as a comedian she wants to do it, but as somebody as that show, which is not comedic.
Doing that, I don't know. It's just silly. Everybody knows that word. It's just silly.
Well, now we all do. Okay. When we come back, things that your kids can't do in school anymore that we could. Don't go anywhere. We are back. You are listening to Davin's and final segment of the show. Joe wanted to raise a further point, so we will allow Joe to do that.
Yeah. What you brought up in the last segment was on the Ellen show when they were talking about real estate agent?
Yeah.
Okay. You mentioned that, well, there's children watching. Should be doing a bit like that.
Yeah.
And then on a segment before we raised, well, should Disney have a lesbian love interest on that? And should the children be seeing that? Davin felt on that, yeah, it would be good. You know, the children would be able to handle it, but why wouldn't they be able to handle this?
Well, because if I'm taking them to the Disney movie, I, as a parent, know what's in the Disney movie. I know that they're, if that's going to be a major thing in all the news and in the media.
But there will be parents that won't know. There are still some parents that won't know that.
Well, then that's on them, because there's enough promo. If I'm watching Ellen, I wouldn't have my kid watch it, but I can see why people would have it watch it. She's goofy. If I'm watching Ellen, I'm not expecting titties coming out of her mouth. Well, that doesn't sound right, but you know what I mean.
But you know,
I did not
reverse it, and I fully expect it.
Yeah. And you're not expecting it. You're kind of blindsided by TTs. You're not expecting it, Joe. That's why. It's unexpected. That's why.
Hmm.
It's not a fertile ground for TT. But point noted.
Yeah.
Shall we move on?
Yes.
Okay.
Please.
You happy?
Yeah.
I think he's sorry he brought that up, actually.
What? Do you want something else to add?
No, you added enough.
I think my answer was very good.
Yeah.
Well, we don't have to exactly be G.
Yeah, we're not Disney.
Okay.
Yeah.
We just
certainly
had a conversation not. About a conversation about a conversation.
We did. It was very meta.
I don't even know what's going on. Yeah. But whatever. That's my reasoning behind it, Joe.
Okay. That was like when you look at those mirrors and it's like the same thing.
And it goes on and on and on.
It's actually what we
are. Yeah, now if Cinderella starts dropping her drawers, I might have an issue. Mm-hmm. I don't care who she's dating. Yeah,
you'll have an issue because you want your daughter with you when you watch that.
Pip Helix, ladies and gentlemen, Pip Helix. All right, so here we're going to do very briefly, because we had other stuff to talk about.
We did.
Things that we did growing up in school that you can't do now. Play tetherball. Remember tetherball?
Yeah.
You remember? Like,
yeah, they don't have tetherball anymore?
I never did it in school. I did it in camp, but I guess some people did it at school.
Well, I remember that we had one, the apartment building that I lived in, when I was very young, we had a tetherball, like, pole in the backyard. But now
sure,
I'm
sure it was just a tetherball pole.
You know what?
Coming to the main playground, Pip Helix.
Na 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 na.
Who wants to play?
I got me a pole. Na 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 na.
Give me snacks if you want to play.
Na 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 na.
Like, will you wait till you see what I do for a pudding cup?
Na 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 na.
Oh, we made the whole show in childhood filthy. Anyway, in 2011, the New York Department of Health included tetherball on a list of games that pose a, quote, significant risk of injury.
I
knew it was going to be an insurance thing.
Along with wiffle ball.
Oh, please.
Red Rover.
What?
Red. I guess maybe you'll clothesline somebody. I don't know.
Yeah, because you're going to knock somebody to the ground. It's sports. It's games.
Red Rover's not a sport. There's no Red Rover Olympic team.
No, but you're going to get knocked on your butt. You know, that's part of playing.
Tomorrow we play Paraguay.
I think we can take them. Those Rovers aren't as good as our Rovers. It's China and Russia that you got to worry about. Those Rovers are exceptionally red.
Whenever they win, they go, Roo!
Red Rover is kicking our butt. China is kicking our butt in Red Rover. When I am president, we're going to have the best Red Rover team. No, it's true. You can ask anybody. I was always very good at Red Rover.
Wiffle ball.
I guess because you hit somebody with a bat.
You can't get hurt with a wiffle ball bat unless it's your old man swinging the thing. Then you have problems. But, you know, it's another
you probably had it coming.
Dodgeball. I get dodgeball.
Why? Because you get whacked with the ball? It's not that bad.
Yeah, the big kids pick on the little kids. I mean, I like it, but kickball. Freeze tag.
Hold on.
Oh.
This is getting... Kickball?
How did it make the list?
Remember when you used to play kickball in the street?
Yeah.
And you'd have to stop for a car, and you was wondering if you'd ever have professional kickball.
That's cool.
And it's like, welcome to kickball. All right, time out, car. No. We're going to go to commercial car.
No, the term is T-car. You agree? Yes, you call T when playing sports in the street. At least this is what we did when a car was coming. T car, and everybody scatters.
Those weren't Harmon Drive rules. No.
Yeah, we are.
Those were Cameron Rhodes rules.
Yeah. We're both looking at
the
you like
the regional rules of kick.
The regional rules.
The regional rules of dodging traffic while youth.
Yeah, it was just car.
But it was funny because with the kid, you know, with the kids sometimes like on my rescue Harmon Drive, there was a certain set of rules, and then we play with the kids up on Zero Street, which is the next street up, and we don't argue because there's different rulings.
Yes, yes.
Even though the streets are together, it's like the,
I could just see a young Joe. Boys have died.
That car's out of bounds.
Yeah. Well, no, you get upset if like somebody used a park car, like when we were playing touch football, as like a defender, as he had, you know.
Yeah, it was true. Always what constituted being safe.
Yes.
Was always different block by block.
Is the curb in or out?
Right. And not for nothing, I think
curb is out.
Not for nothing, I think that was a major argument.
It
one
always
day
is.
What we had
it
between
is.
Zero Street and Harmon.
Playing sports as a kid is not really about playing sports. It's about learning how to debate for this show.
Yeah. If it bounces off the tree, it's out. No one's
in. Yeah, because Zero Street, you couldn't have the curb is out.
Could you imagine
but we
me
did
Joe,
on Harmon, you know?
Could you imagine me and Joe growing up like a block over from each other and arguing about
three rocks flying over fences?
I can see you guys wrestling in the middle of the ground, you know?
Two bears going at it.
Funny. Oh, I got that.
and tetherball. These were all pretty vicious. So now...
Did they really say vicious?
That's what it
says. And can we back up for 1 second and go over freeze tag?
Yeah, I don't get freeze tag. I'll be honest with you.
Well, at least they do it in the middle of the street. There's a car coming. Freeze! You know?
maybe because it promotes watching television? I don't know.
Wait, you touch... What? It's just touch. Touch tag. It's not like tackle tag.
But you have to call like Starsky and Hutch.
Starsky and Hutch.
Like when we were kids growing up.
Oh, right.
No, I'm thinking TV tag. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Like, you know,
I got my tag confused.
When we play tag, we don't have to yell at TV shows. I don't know what you're
talking
about.
There's been so much talk of tags this evening, I got confused.
I got confused, too.
I got confused with my TV tag and my freeze tag.
Mm. Yeah, really?
Yes, but no, I don't see why freeze. Yeah, why? Unless they were free, like you were going to slap really hard. I don't know.
I know, but it's like that's one of the most mild milquetoast games that you can play.
I don't get it.
All right, Red Rover's got to be back on the list. You got to play Red Rover.
Come on. Right. Yeah.
So we can play Paraguay.
And if not Red Rover, then Duck Duck Goose has to go, too. I'm doing away with all it. And Ring Around the Rosie no more. Not on my watch.
No pocket full of hosey for anybody.
ashes, my ashes. Yeah. Nobody's falling down.
It's dangerous.
Yes. All right. You were. We got to wrap this up. If you want to hear the full interview with Joyce Razor, who we thank for coming on of the National Military Family Association, you can do that at davinsden.com. Like us on Facebook, Davinsden. Follow us on Twitter at Davinsden. Thank you guys for hanging out. If you like us, tell a friend. If you hate us,
tell no one.
Either way, please keep on listening.